Well, in our Bibles, in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 4, a passage that should not be new to the people of God, and certainly not to any Baptists, Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, I was asked a question this afternoon about this old king, and I'd been thinking about it. I was planning on preaching this for some time here tonight. And I was asked the question about when was Nebuchadnezzar saved, if he was saved. Well, I believe he was saved. And that's about the only thing that I have the assurance about as to when. I want to believe with the witness of Daniel, I'm sure the witness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that he did, as it seemed to change him drastically when they came out and he made a decree that there, anyone that said anything amiss against the God Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be destroyed. And after he finished his little term or semester in the school of wilderness school, yeah, it's a good school, then he said, "When my reason returned to me." And I think that could have at least a manifold. Certainly one was his mind had seemed to just go from him when he was carried into the wilderness there and spent that time there. And his reason returned, but it also, I believe, could have some understanding to the fact that he just realized again how great God was. And the return to me gives me some thought that he may have been saved before and just gotten so far away from God that he needed a good test to remind him. And when his reason returned, he says these things. And we'll just read verse 34 because that's where some of it is at. "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High." If it's not a saved man, we could use some of them in Baptist churches anyway. "And I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar," don't say this is great Babylon which I have built any longer. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." And I believe he spoke that with inspiration and also experience. But I want to consider tonight the sovereignty of God. Now, that's a strange subject in the Baptist church, don't you suppose? Not really. Verse 35, the Word of God, Nebuchadnezzar was inspired, or Daniel's inspired, to write these words that Nebuchadnezzar declared when he said, "All the inhabitants of the earth." Now that does not leave anyone out. It does not leave any creature out. It does not say all the people of the earth, does it? It just says all the inhabitants, whatever they are that inhabit the earth, are reputed as nothing by comparison to God in His strength and in the performance of His will and His ability to accomplish that which is right and perfect and just and holy. There is nothing in all of this earth or created world. They're all nothing by comparison to Him. "And He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven." And I don't know who that is saved would say anything but amen to that. But then when he goes on to say, and among the inhabitants of the earth, then there are many who claim, and I believe are truly saved, who will say that's conditional. There is some ways that he does according to his will among the inhabitants of the earth, and there are some ways that he doesn't. Now, they wouldn't want to admit that, but their teachings and their practices certainly speak louder than any volume of words that they may put forth on a personal note. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, even ask the question, what are you doing? Or saying to him, what doest thou? What are you doing? Why did you do that? What does this mean? No one dares to ask God a question in reality if they recognize anything about him. Now, there are quite a few good old writers on the subject of God's sovereignty. A.W. Pink is a good one. He begins his book on the sovereignty of God with this thought: someone is in control. Perhaps it is man. Well, if you believe that man's in control, no need to go any further. You're already wrong. God is in control. And I say amen to that. But someone is in control. Ultimately, and in the end, some power is ruling. It could be the devil, it could be the devils, it could be man, it could be God, but somebody's got to be in charge. And I believe that it is God who is in charge. And that's a good little book on that subject. The Lord God Almighty, Sovereign One, who spoke and the worlds were framed, certainly has sufficient power, wisdom, and ability to work and rule and bring to pass all of His good pleasure. Our God is in every sense, in every place, with everyone, with everything, with every situation, omnipotent, all-powerful. He sovereignly rules over all things, whatsoever they may be, anywhere upon the earth. I can tell you in short order with the psalmist what God does. You know what he says that he does? He just said, whatsoever the Lord pleased. And that did he. In heaven, in earth, in the sea, and in all deep places. And I just say, you're right! That's what God does, whatever he wants to. Who is man that they think they may reply against God? You imagine an old clay pot standing up and saying something to the potter, why hast thou made me this? Why, that would be more sensible than for a man to question God. God is sovereign over all things, and I'll just look at a few of them as we consider this tonight for a little while. Well, glad that thing quit running. Not really. God is sovereign over all of the creation, and I'll break that down some and begin to, that God is sovereign over all inanimate objects in His creation. Every drop of rain that has ever fallen anywhere on the face of this great planet fell at the exact spot, at the precise moment that our loving God had so predestinated before there ever was a light to shine on our earth for the light to shine upon. And there has not been even one of the minutest particles of dust that was affected by any drop of rain that was not so according to the predestinated will of the sovereign God of the Bible. Jerome Zacchaeus wrote a book on Absolute Predestination. It's been a long time since I read it. But in that book, he tells or asks a question of something like this. If you could get an old Ford truck up to 100 miles an hour on the dustiest, driest, dirtiest road in all of Texas, and it was driving through a tornado, then every particle of that dust would land according to the place that God had eternally, immutably predestinated that it fall, and there it would rest until God so willed that it be moved. Now that's the way it is. There's never been a snowflake that fell, that did not fall when, as, and because God had appointed it to do so. You say, preacher, you sound like you believe God's kind of ruling in things. I don't believe it. I know it. I don't have to believe that. If I didn't believe that, why would I be here? I'll be honest with you. I'm through with serving and worshiping a God who is dependent upon anything but His own self. If God needs help from an outside source, He's not the God I want to trust my soul to. I'd rather have one that can do what His will is and perform it in every way. If one could ascend to the heights of the highest mountain peaks, yea, the furthest star that exists in this whole galaxy, which is as yet unknown by man, or to the depths of the bottom of the lowest ocean and to the hearts of the very earth itself, even there and everywhere in between, our Lord God omnipotent reigneth sovereignly and doeth whatsoever He pleased and brings it all to pass. Our great God rules in the gravity of this earth. Our God rules in the rotation of this earth. Our God rules in the tails of a comet. Our God has ordained all things, and they all come to pass. I heard a fellow today talking about how that mankind is very bad to complain about it being too hot, about it being too cold, about it being too wet, about it being too dry, about it being too windy, about not having a breeze, and everything that we could imagine, no matter what God does and how God does it, we're dissatisfied with it. But I want you to know something. That's not going to change God. Now we can murmur and we complain and we can do all we want, but we'll learn sooner or later that it was hard to kick against the pricks. Because the Lord God will bring to pass that which is needed for the good of His people, for the glory of His own Son, Jesus Christ. And this earth, in all the fine things, is just a place for Him to rest His feet. And we think it's everything. It ain't nothing but a footstool for the Lord God Almighty. And we live upon it and put everything in it. This world in which we live now looks at the law of averages, looks at fortune, and they look at the horoscope, and they think that they're getting lucky, and they think that it's a matter of nature and Mother Nature and Father Earth or whatever it is that they've got. And all these things are nothing but just devices of the devil to rob the God of the glory that is worthy Him and Him alone. Now everything that there is about this world, inanimate, is under the complete control of our Lord God Almighty. And then I want you to know that not only is the inanimate objects upon this earth completely under the control of God's sovereign will, but also all the affairs of this world, every one of them, are under the complete control that are being performed precisely as God ordained or appointed that they be. And it can't change. It just can't change. The leaders of this earth, you know, sometimes God's people seem to act like the Lord just wound this clock thing up and sat back and said, "Ah, let's just see what's going to happen." And He's sitting up there in heaven wondering, "My goodness, what are they going to do next?" But that's not the way it is. Even Nebuchadnezzar learned that it is God that sets up kings and takes down kings. You know, I've heard many, many, many complaints about who the President of the United States is. And while he didn't get my vote, I believe God set him there. You say, "Why do you believe that?" Because he's there. That's why I believe he's there, that God sent him there. Because he's there. Why in this world did Hitler ever come to power? Because God raised him and put him there. But he was a wicked, evil man. Because God raised him and put him there. I don't understand that. God didn't ask you to understand a thing, did he? He never said, I'll show you exactly why you ought to believe in me. What he said was, you walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm telling you that I not only set up kings and I take down kings, but he also said in Proverbs 21, I think verse 1, now I could be corrected, but I believe I'm right, that the heart of the king, you know it, don't you, is in the hands of the Lord. And he turneth them whithersoever he will, just as easy as he, as the river's water. Just as easy as he can turn a branch or a creek and let the water run in and have it a flood or make it a dry basin hole full of nothing but dust. God can turn those things. And the kings who think they're in complete charge and no one tells them what to do, how to do, when to do, they are nothing but puppets on a string under the hand of the ruling God of this universe, and they shall do all of His good pleasure. And then they'll stop. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. You get worried about the affairs of this world and what's going to happen to us. A good dose of God's sovereignty will settle you down some. Either He can look after us or He can't. Either He can take care of our problems or He can't. Either He rules in this world and over this country of ours, or He doesn't. I sleep better knowing that He is and does and shall. I have a great peace in my heart in realizing that behind all the plans of the devil and this wicked world rules one supremely, who cannot at all touch us in any wise. Pastor was telling about a experience he had with a nice big dog that he was delivering a package into a yard, and the homeowner told him, and it's a big old dog, I don't know what kind it was, but it's a big old dog. He wasn't that big, but he's a big dog. And they said, come on in, let's stay. So he starts up, and around the corner comes that big old dog, snarling, growling, chomping at the bits, running hard as he can, straight at him! And all of a sudden, he come to the end of his chain. And he went belly up. And that's where the devil's at. God's got the devil on chain. He can run at us. He can charge at us. He can attack and try and snarl and growl and do anything he wants to. But when he comes to the end of that chain, God will say, whoop! And he'll go belly up. You know, that's what it is. The world may indeed plan it to be evil against us, but let's join Brother Joseph in Genesis 50 and verse 20, Let's join Brother Joseph. He told his brethren, as for you, you meant this evil against me, but God meant it for good. That dog meant it for evil against Brother Pastor, but God meant that chain for good. You know, as it is that he's alive today. And so as Joseph said, as it is to save much people alive at this day. You sold me. Yeah, you jealous, envious siblings. You sold me. And you were going to leave me in a pit to die of thirst. And then you sold me. And you did all these things. But I'm not in the place of God. He had a purpose in these things. So it's fine with me. You got no problem with me. And we need to come to the realization sometimes that everything's going to be all right. Whoever's in the White House or whoever's in the outhouse, it's going to be all right. Or anywhere in between, it's going to be okay. The Lord not only rules in our leaders, But he rules in every other person, whomever they might be, whatever they want, from the palace to the prison, and anywhere in between. Our God rules. And we can rejoice and be in Him. God is the one by whom all things consist. You got that? That's what He said. It was by Him, for Him, and by Him all things consist. This whole creation had depended on God. All of it out there. All of those, what was it, 14 or 13 to the 26 power stars, every one of them is controlled by God. And we get fretted about these things that, you know, bread burned. Grave yeast not got enough salt in it. I mean, you know, real earth-shattering events. It really flip our lives upside down. Well, God is not only sovereign over the inanimate objects and sovereign over the affairs of the world, but we can bring it right down where we live. God's sovereign over every individual person who is, shall, or has walked upon the face of this earth. Every one of them. They've made every path exactly as God appointed them to make at the time He appointed them to make it. And that's all. Preacher, I'll tell you, you sound to me like you believe that God is really in charge. Well, our brother's studying the book of Ecclesiastes. If you've read that, you ought to have come to chapter 3 somewhere along the way. And that preacher said, to everything there is a season and a purpose to everything under the sun. God said in that, there's just time for everything and everything in its time. And I have a purpose in it coming to pass. And He just goes through there and begins with the most things that are toughest sometimes for us to think. He says, it's time to be born, it's time to die. Time to laugh, time to refrain from laugh, time to cry, time to dance, time not to dance. I've done got old enough for that not to dance. And never was really involved in it at all. But everything about us. You ever wonder why you were born, when you were, where you were, and what family you were? Well, I know the answer to that. Because it pleased God to put you there. You know, so many dark secrets of all this unknown can be settled if we just recognize it's the will of God. Why am I where I'm at? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Because it's the God's will. Is He sovereign or is He not? Is He in charge or is He partly in charge or is He trying to be in charge? You get down where you live, you start putting it home with you. Our childhood, our breath. You know that I am as much convinced of this as anything in all of this earth. And y'all know, and I know, and my precious bride knows, and I ain't going to stay here long because I can't. But every heartbeat of every person that is, that has, is, or ever shall live on this earth has been appointed by God and numbered. And when that number's up, that heart won't beat again. Not a hair falls out of her head. But what God knows. And I'll be honest, some of y'all has lost some hair and God knew it. I won't stay there long either. He's got them numbered. And it's getting easier to count some. But anyway, He's got them numbered. And these appointments of ours won't be missed by as much as a hair's breadth. Now that's facts. That's facts. God is sovereign over the elect, whether they've been brought to the knowledge of Jesus Christ or not. Hebrews 1, I believe it is. I better look. I think maybe about verse 3 talks about the angels of God being ministering spirits. Well, that wasn't it, was it? Okay. Well, anyway, it's somewhere here in the book of Hebrews. 1:14. Oh, I'm in 2:14. Maybe that's why I couldn't find it. All right, yeah, 1:14. Speaking of the angels of God, which are inferior to Jesus Christ, but you know why some of the angels of God, why there's so many? And how many, I don't know. 2/3 of an innumerable company still there on the job, so however many that is. You tell me how much an innumerable company is, and I'll tell you what 2/3 of them are. So that'll be a deal on it. But this question is asked, are they not all? All of the angels have a job. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? They ain't even got it yet. We had angels looking after us before we were ever saved. You got that? Now, is there anyone here who, if you stop and look back in your mind down the past, cannot see times that if it were not for some divine intervention, you wouldn't be here tonight? I don't believe there's one of us here. God has His angels who has watched over us and blessed us and been with us. People who have mocked what I believe about God's sovereignty, about election and all these kinds of things have said, well, but what if someone died before who was elect, before they ever come to believe on Jesus Christ? I said, well, what if God hadn't put the earth in place? You know, I don't have a what if God. The promises in Jesus Christ are not if. They're yea. They're absolutes. And I rejoice in that. But I was totally indestructible. I didn't know that. I thought it. That's how I felt about it until I realized these things in life happened to me too. But as a youth, I thought I was totally indestructible and didn't know how indestructible I was because God had chosen me in Christ unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth before the world began. And He had given angels charge over me because I was an heir of salvation. And I've been in places where I know beyond any doubt that I could not have done the things that happened. Now, some of you remember when I was a little bit heavier than I am. I'm still awful heavy. But I was a little heavier than I am now. Put about another 150 pounds on this. And I want you to know I hung on the side of a building with one arm. Just one arm hanging off the side of a building till somebody could come put a ladder back up under me. No joke. And all kinds of things like that. Now, you think this here hand could have four fingers right there? Be able to hold 400 and some pounds? Huh? No! And I'm just one of the many. Oh, I got out there in the car racing a train trying to cross the tracks on the road that he was going to cross just before he got there. But I stopped. You say, why'd you stop? Because I was one of God's. And that train couldn't kill me. I couldn't fall off that building. I wasn't saved. I'm an heir of salvation. And God had ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. He's in charge of sovereign over the elect before we even know we are. Before we ever know Him, He knew us. And we love Him because He first loved us. And He loved us and He died for us, but He also created a race of angels to look after us in our silly, foolish, ignorant ways to keep us until the time that was appointed that He would reveal Christ in us. God's sovereign.
God's sovereign over the place, time, and all, we'd be saved. Do you believe that the time that you were saved was the time that you were going to be saved? I was debating some of this with a fellow of the Armenian persuasion who'd been attending Grace for, I don't know, several months. And went over to his house and sat down and talked with him, and we was talking and everything. And finally asked him, I said, do you believe the night you were saved that you could have said no? And he said, well, yeah, I think I could have. But I will say this, I think God knew what I was going to do. And I said, well, then could it have changed? If God knows what you're going to do, can it change? Could it have been before, since God knew when it was going to be? Or could it have been later, since God knew when it was going to be? He wasn't ready to say it was because God had predestinated that was the time it was going to be. But he couldn't answer that it couldn't change, not if God knew it. I've seen people talk of this thing of predestination. It's like this great string that stretched out across time. And here we are walking across this string, then we come to the forks in the road. And will we take the fork to the left, or will we take the fork to the right? And they want to say, well, that all depends on what your choice is. And I say, well, does God know which one you're going to take before you get there? Well, you know, if they know God, I mean, he's not going to learn anything. You know what happens to God if he learns anything? He ain't got anymore. He's unchanged if he learns anything. And God said, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. God can't lose anything. He can't get anything. God gets any smarter than he was. He's no longer, he wasn't God then. Either then he was less than he is, or he's more than he was, or something. He said, no, he already knows. I said, well, then what you're going to take, the one he knows you're going to take, right? We hadn't got there yet. We don't know it, but God does. You know what the Bible says about God? And Isaiah said that he declares the end from the beginning. And the things that were God as though they already were, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my good pleasure. Now that's what the Bible says. God's testimony of his own self, not my opinion. Not my opinion. Oh, our Lord, how God, how sovereign he is. Job 25 and verse, well, we could look at a lot of it, but I sure want to look at just a smidgen here about Brother Job. Job, I said 25, didn't I? It's 23, I think. Don't hold me to that till I get there. Job 23, 13 and 14. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. That word appointed just means determined. That is set. It's predestinated. It's appointed. And I'm going to tell you something. This appointment is not like the appointments of men. You know who is the most common person late to a doctor's appointment? It's a doctor. That's the one who's most commonly late to a doctor's appointment is the doctor. Man's fickle and unstable, but not God. God is on time all the time, every time. And his appointments are set in more than granite, set in his faithfulness. And when he can swear by nothing greater, he swore by himself and what he said he'll do. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Well, praise God, what a Savior is our Lord Jesus Christ. In the
third psalm, verse 3, about that salvation, we all know that. For my people shall be willing, 110:3, in the day of my power. Psalm 110, verse 3. And we can rejoice in that. Everything in our life, even, now this is going to be, don't get all up cross-legged with me till I finish. Even in our failures and mistakes. Now, God's not responsible, but God is sovereign. And God will use them to His glory and to our good. You say, preacher, that don't sound much biblical to me. All right, look at Psalm 76, verse 10. Psalm 76 and verse 10, the Word of God says, surely the wrath of man shall praise Him. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Now I see something as simple as this in that statement. If I have in my possession a jar, y'all know what a Japanese hornet is? What's the meanest hornet that you know of around here?
European.
Huh? European. Y'all know what a European hornet is? If I have a jar full of European hornets, and I shake them up. All right? Now, I'm in charge of them. I've got a lid on that jar. Okay? And I'm in control of them. I mean, I got them. And I decide I can be praised if I open that jar and let two hornets out. So I open that jar and let two hornets out. But I don't let three. And I don't let just one. That's the way the wickedness of man is. The wrath of man. All of man's wickedness and wrath is worse than a European hornet. But God's got the wrath of man jarred up. And surely the wrath that God permits to manifest itself shall praise Him, and the remainder of it He'll keep sealed in the jar or their heart. Yeah? Surely the wrath of man shall praise Him. The remainder of wrath shall He restrain. Do you see that? That's how sovereign God is. Even man, and that's reprobates included. Even the wickedest of the wicked of this world has only done, now watch this, what they wanted to do. God didn't cause them to do it. They wanted to do it. And God let them do what they wanted to do, as long as it could praise Him. And then He said, you won't do any more. I don't care how much you want to do. And the death and all that our Lord Jesus Christ went through in the last week of His life on this earth. All that man did. You know what the Word of God says about that? That they did what the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God had ordained that they do. That's what it says. Man was not in charge of the last day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that. Pilate says, why do you not answer me? Do you not know that I have power to take thy life or grant it? And you know what the Lord Jesus Christ told him, don't you? Thou hast no power over me. You can't even cut a hangnail off me unless God approves it. Thou hast no power over me at all except to be given thee of my Father in heaven. You can't get a hair from my head except my Father in heaven gives it to you. You cannot raise your voice. God strike you mute if He don't want you to speak to me. Now what they did they wanted to do. But what they did, every hair that they plucked off of his face, every lash that they put in his back, every thorn that pierced his brow, every word that they thrust at him was only done in harmony with what would praise God. And the remainder of it, he restrained. The Lord Jesus Christ did not suffer beyond what was needful and necessary to redeem us from our sins. Man, wasn't it loose and out of control when they were dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ? They weren't it loose and out of control. God was ruling over them. Man thought, and the devil probably thought, victory is finally here! But all they were doing was fulfilling what God's determinate counsel and foreknowledge had ordained that they do. They thought we're scourging him because we want to scourge him. And they were. But they also were scourging him because God had appointed that he be scourged to redeem us from our sins. By his stripes, didn't Isaiah 53 tell us that? By his stripes we are healed. They had to stripe him. They had to pierce him. They had to do these things. Yeah. He had to be betrayed by one that he'd eat bread with. Had to be. Judas Iscariot wanted that money. And he did that because he wanted to do it. But he was, just like Christ, he was brought in this world for that purpose as Pharaoh. God just let his heart, the wrath that was in his heart, come out to the point that would praise him, and the rest of it, he closed the jar and lid on. That's true of it all. Everything about us. Well, I'm going to have to quit here, but God bless. This is a long way from the exhaustive. But the simplicity of it is, when you lay down tonight, really go to bed with the God who's able to make you get up. May you lay me down and sleep, because the Lord has sustained me. And though you may be surrounded by tens of thousands, there's no reason to fear, for the Lord is on your side. And who is it that can be against us when God is for us? And what difference does it make who they are? Because they're beat before they start. God bless you, Brother Pastor.